This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Behind me is consensual and harmless, but neighbors disagree and they're ready to see him move.
This is no place for anyone.
Online videos bill the McCamey Manor as the ultimate horror experience. And make no mistake, the waiver you sign before you start there spells it all out.
We did not sign waivers. We did not ask to be exposed to this.
These neighbors, who asked not to be identified, said they're afraid to let their 7-year-old daughter outside anymore with what they've seen here in the past 2 months.
We have heard chainsaws. We have seen people being drugged around the corner of the house. That's scary.
Controversial 16-year run in San Diego, McCamey Manor is right here in Middle Tennessee. Uproar this is causing.
On a backcountry road in Summertown, Tennessee, beyond the trees is McCamey Manor.
You don't see stuff like this. Well, when I first found out about it, for a couple nights I couldn't sleep.
We want to warn you that this next story isn't for the faint of heart. Spoke with a participant of the house who shared his experience. And after signing a waiver, undergoing a medical and psychological exam, and paying for that event with a big bag of dog food, he walked into McCamey Manor.
Just looking forward to it. I'm a little nervous.
Brandon Vance's perspective on McCamey Manor changed significantly after he went through it.
Oh my goodness. For saying, if you last a minute there, you have my absolute and total respect.
Many of you have been to a haunted house, but this is not one of those. This is a place where you can be slapped, pushed, dunked in water, tied up, shocked, force-fed cockroaches. So understand why we must warn you, this story has graphic images.
Vance lasted 2 hours and 30 minutes. He says those minutes felt like hours.
Mind shock. You know, and it's a physical shock. It's like, It's like CrossFit, but times a million. It's insane.
Summertown, Tennessee is normally a quiet area with cornfields lining the side of the road. But what has this community of almost 1,000 residents up in arms? McCamey Manor.
Screams in the night, coupled with revving chainsaws and what looks like an abduction. Neighbors in one mid-state town say they've had to deal with all of it.
Vance says there is nothing you can do to prepare for it. McCamey even warning Vance that he doesn't want to do this.
And this is all connected to what's called an extreme haunted house.
Yeah, that's right. So extreme that some neighbors actually even called 911 this weekend, thinking that there had been an abduction. Turns out it was all part of the show. But some Lawrence County neighbors say this show is frightening more people than just those who are signing up for it.
Over the course of the horror show, McCamey will use Vance's fears against him. Nothing is off limits. Vance could be beaten, covered in scorpions, have his teeth pulled, and more.
It's not a haunted house, it's a torture house.
Those who live nearby claim that they hear screams coming out of this barn at all hours of the night.
They had a girl pulling down one of the driveways over there. They had a girl by her neck pulling her with a chain.
Imagine seeing someone bound and carried away into a house, hearing screams moments later. This is one of the stunts put on by Russ McCamey, who runs the show.
Man says it took a toll on his body.
Something really weird medically happened to me. I couldn't stand up anymore.
While he still has all his teeth and his eyebrows, he did leave with battle scars.
I'm extremely tired. I'm very, 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 very sore. I have a few bruises. I have my knees are all scraped up and cut up.
The owner is a target of criticism after opening shop in Middle Tennessee. Neighbors call the manor a torture house that needs to go.
Frank says fake kidnappings are just dangerous.
Children saw this happening. Mr. McCamey claims it's all smoke and mirrors and it's staged, but to the people who saw it, it did not appear that way. And that's when we realized something's got to be done about this. You can't be doing this type of activity in a residential area.
Summertown, Tennessee, home to only 1,000 people in Lawrence County. Any new neighbor gets attention, but this neighbor, well, police have already been here. The concern over McCamey Manor has made its way all the way to the top law enforcement official in the county. Looked into it to see if this kind of extreme haunt has crossed the criminal line.
What Vance is about to endure is a horror show so intense its creator, Russ McCamey, chooses to notify authorities before it begins.
I believe Mr. McCamey is walking a very, very thin line, because just because you consent to something doesn't mean that consent lasts forever.
Smack. Awesome. I have been looking forward to this episode ever since I talked to Mr. McCamey a couple weeks ago. So welcome, everybody, back to the show. I am joined tonight by John G.E., his 80th appearance today, or 79, his 79th appearance today. So hello, yep. John. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Hey, everybody in the chat, I want you to press F to pay respects to KC. She can't be here tonight.
Yes, please do that. And the man of the hour in the screen up in your right hand side is the creator, the founder, the mastermind behind the subject matter of what you just saw in those clips, McCamey Manor. Russ McCamey, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks, guys. I've got a dog eating my chair here, so if you hear that, after it is.
you are a dog person, because that's part of the admission to get into the haunt, right, is dog food.
Yeah, that's the expensive price for an all-day adventure with McCamey Manor, is a bag of dog food. So as ridiculous as that sounds, it's always been that way. We've never made any money on the show. It's always been just something for the fans, and it's always been dog food. So we take care of all these strays that come around out here, and I've got a few pups myself. So it's a very, very dog-friendly environment for sure.
I wonder if people have any type of, if they're triggered after going through McCamey Manor when they're around dog food after that. You know, if they associate dog food now with with what goes on in the manor.
when we talk about dog food, they assume that they'll be eating it. So it's like, I tell them, well, bring the kind that you like. But no, we don't eat dog food. Now, with total transparency, have we ever given food to people? Of course we have. But lately with the new show, it's a dog food friendly free place, so you'll be okay.
Excellent. Well, I've been trying to get because for those of you guys who don't know, this used to be stationed mainly in San Diego, and you recently moved to Huntsville, Alabama, and I'm trying to get my co-host here to go through the haunt. And I'm not sure that I've convinced him yet to make it through. Have we, GE?
Well, no. I mean, I think I'm literally physically unable. I'm a diabetic, so I don't know if that excludes me or not.
Well, How is being a diabetic going to keep you from the manor? That's a nice try, though. I like that one.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Fuck.
A diabetic, yeah. You got to get a better one than that going. But yeah, no, we can hook you up. And then you're real close, right? You're right here in the area, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, he hates me so bad right now.
I normally do like back-to-back shows. But you know what? It's funny that you know what? It's your lucky day. You came on at the right time because actually a couple people who were scheduled to go in December had to rearrange. So I've got an opening on 1 December and 15 December. So what day is better for you?
Oh, man.
I'm gonna have to pass this year, and maybe when I grow a pair of balls, I can do it.
My word! So all these women that come through are tougher than you. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Yes.
I will happily 100%. Admit that. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen some BDSM videos, but I mean, yeah,
they have a hard paint on it.
It's not BDSM, so you know that's for the misinformed that think oh, okay. that. So not that whatsoever. Think of this as an Indiana Jones ride on steroids. That's what it is, man. It's like a crazy, you know, obstacle course, live your own horror movie, every kind of major animatronic you can think of, boo haunt combined, mind control. I mean, it's everything you can possibly wrap your head around, with the exception of there's nothing inappropriate. There's no BDSM BS stuff, nothing like that. There's no religion involved. It's a very PG-13. In fact, you can't even cuss. So all the cussing you guys are doing right now, that would cost you $500 for every time you said a cuss word.
So $500?
No cussing. $500, because I start you out with $20,000. I give you $20,000 when you get here. And it's up to you to hang on to it, and you get to keep what you end up with at the end of the night. Simple as that. And that's in the contract. This is all legit. So, you know, I know you guys are rich and everything, but maybe you can use an extra 20 grand for 10 hours worth of.
I am not rich.
Yeah, not at all.
I'm offering you 20 grand, and you know we're probably not going to kill you. So it's not like you're going to walk out of here. So what could possibly be so rough that you can't withstand a couple hours of McKinney Manor activities? It doesn't make any sense.
I would fold like a napkin, Russ. I would fold like a napkin.
So basically, if you survive, if you go through a full 2 hours of this, you get $20,000?
2 hours?
You got to survive the entire. Yeah, 2 hours. What word?
8 hours.
You got to survive the entire tour. It's actually 10 hours. You got to survive once the show starts. Now the show starts when the sun goes down, and you start your first activity. So all the daytime stuff that we do, because you're actually here at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're here in the morning for basically a barbecue, hanging out with Russ himself. Having some pizza, drinking sodas, having a good time. But it's my time to evaluate you mentally and physically to find out what we can and cannot do. Because my job truly is to give you a successful tour. I want you to last as long as you possibly can. And so I do all these silly little carnival games during the daytime to evaluate what you can, again, what you can and cannot do. And it takes 4 hours to go through the contract. And the contract is probably the scariest part of the whole show, because this is where you're going to find out legitly just exactly what's going to happen to you. Because legally, after having conversations with my lovely district attorney and everybody else who loved me out here, I have to tell you everything that is going to happen. So there are no surprises. When you start the show, when the sun goes down, you're going to know everything that could possibly ever take place. There are no, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, Russ didn't tell me that. No, you know everything. I tell you how to get through everything. I tell you how to escape it, what the codes are, where the keys are at. I tell you everything. So there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have a successful run. and make it all the way to the end. But for some crazy reason, you know, that just doesn't seem to work out that way.
I think I know why.
And I know
but why. Let's before we get to where we are now and how things work. Yeah, I want to backtrack just a little bit and talk about how you started this. Like, what brought this idea into your head, and how did you kind of how do you go about creating this type of extreme hunt? Like, the first year, how was that executed with this being something that probably no one was used to seeing? How did you go about creating what became now known as the most extreme hunt in the world?
Well, I'm just, you know, I mean, cut and dry, long story short, I'm just an entertainer. I love to entertain, regardless whether it be, you know, singing, playing the guitar, being in a band, acting, comedy, my wedding DJ stuff. I mean, how scary can a wedding DJ guy be, right? So I just like to entertain. And nothing is cooler than putting on a big play. And that's all anybody that does haunted houses knows. It's just putting on a play, putting on a show. It's building sets, building props. It's just designing and thinking this crazy stuff up and seeing if it's going to work and how it's going to pan out. It's just a big show. So I've always been doing this since I was a little guy. And it started when I was a little guy doing trick-or-treating with my dad, you know, taking me out to all these different little houses that had extra goodies out there and doing cool stuff. And I thought, man, that's really wicked. So I was hooked when I was 4 or 5 years old, and it didn't matter where I was. I could be in a one bedroom apartment. I could be on a Navy ship. I was in the Navy for 23 years, and 17 of those years I was out to sea floating around, and that's a lot of floating. And so I was actually doing haunts on board ship. So it didn't matter where I was. I was always putting together a haunted house. And then it's just a matter of improving throughout the years. And I've always kind of went outside the bubble. I've always did my own thing. I never liked just your basic straight haunted house. I mean, I like those haunted houses, but for me, I always thought outside the bubble. I wanted to do something interactive, very cinematic. I want to make people feel like they're in a movie. And I've always just strove for that. And I'm not a real word, strove, have a strived. And I'm very tired. I just woke up, you can tell.
Very, I know very the feeling.
Attractive right now. Need to shave.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. I'm really prepped for this right now, but
you look fantastic.
Not like I forgot or anything. I didn't forget, but here I am. And I've just always been that guy to create and do this wild stuff. And year after year, you have to make things bigger and better, and you can't go back and rest on your laurels. You have to keep on going. And the haunt is just kind of a natural involvement and progression of where it should be. After all these years of doing McKamey Manor, it would be now at the extreme level. You know, it's just kind of where it has to be. Next year after that, or 5 years down the road, I don't know what's going to happen because it's pretty extreme right now. But this is kind of a natural evolution of where I would be in the haunt world after doing haunts my whole life, and that's kind of how I started.
So it's not getting easier to get through. It's getting harder from where it originally started. Right.
Yeah, it's much harder now. Yeah, it's much harder. I can tell you that on the physicality level, it's much easier. That's why I actually lowered the age requirements to 18. So physicality wise, again, if you're watching the old movies, everybody's like, pushing you around and shoving on you and throwing you. That's not what it is. It's just you and me, and just not letting me get inside your noggin. So on a psychological level, it's much more frightening. And trust me, getting yelled at and pushed around, after a few minutes, you get numb of that. And that's not really scary. But what I do to someone's noggin, the way I can get inside your head, I'm not lying to you. That's scary. And that's the reason why the record for the new shows out here in Tennessee is 0 seconds. No one's lasted a second. You know, so there's magic to what I do. What's that?
I feel like you're getting in my head now.
Oh, no. This is the fun side of Russ. This is the lovable good guy Russ. But when the sun goes down, this guy goes away, and then you're going to have somebody else. And what I want people to think is that there's no way Russ can do that. That's impossible. Russ cannot get in my head. Russ can't use hypnosis on me. He can't use mind control. That's just BS. He's lying to me. Well, I want you to think that. because after the show is over, I want you to evaluate what happened to you, and you'll have no clue what happened. You'll be out of it. I have to decompress with you. Now, if you've watched that movie Extinction, you saw that woman, yes. You know,
yes.
Peddling her water bottle, thinking it's her baby. Well, how do you think that happens? You know, because I get inside people's noggins. That's what I do. That's how I win.
That gave me nightmares. that was a hard one to. I can't imagine being in her place because I'm a big wimp. I can just admit that. I would, right. Like I said, I wouldn't last the van ride over there. But the question I have is, when you say that people last 0 seconds in the new attraction, what are they doing to where they get to that 0? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the lead into where they would get to 1 second? Because obviously they're going to go in something and do something.
Right. So the you know, the show starts again early in the morning when the birds are singing, the kids are playing in the street, and the dogs are barking. It's all sunshine and rainbows. Yeah, it's a great thing, you know. And literally, we have barbecues and fans come out and watch the daytime activities. And that's called Holly's Boot Camp, the Gauntlet, you know, whatever you want to call it. And again, that's where we just play the game, because McCamey Manor is a game. And you want to like earn these fail cards. A fail card is what's going to make you either successful or not inside the manor. And every time you fulfill something that I need done, then you get a fail card or you lose a fail card. And you want to have at least 10 of these fail cards going into the real show. So everybody will do like crazy, strange assignments even before the tour begins. Like, there'll be like this gal, you know, who's coming to the tour on Saturday. She'll have a week to do these crazy live feed assignments, whether it be dancing with five strangers, a ballroom dance, and she has to dance 5 minutes with each person. She's got to find five McCamey Manor haters, have a big conversation. She's got to interview my best friend, Scott Franks, you know, who's the county commissioner, the one who calls McCamey Manor a torture house, a fetish house. I love these guys. So I give them all kinds of crazy things they got to do. And that's how you earn these fail cards. And so when you get here, your job is to continue to earn cards. And the more cards you get, the more successful you're going to be at the tour. And so that's what happens during the daytime. Just a lot of fun and games, laughing, playing. And it's all live fed too. You can go to my Facebook page, Russ McCamey, and watch all of that live and just be part of it. And it's goofy and silly. And you're going to watch that going like, this is ridiculous. This isn't scary. You're right. It's not scary, but it's how I'm going to judge what you can handle when the things get real, and things will get real when the sun goes down. Now, when the sun goes down, the whole vibe of the show changes. And that's when you're going to be doing tougher activities. So the haunt is broken up into tasks, stunts, and breakers. A task is doing something as simple as following directions, not cussing, doing the contract the correct way, just doing silly stuff. That's a task. A task will not get you booted from the game. All that's going to happen is you'll lose a fail card, and you'll lose $500 each time you lose a fail card. No big deal. A stunt is something a little bit more inventive, a little bit tougher to do, a little more challenging. But again, before you ever do any of these stunts or whatever, I'm going to tell you exactly what they are, how to do it, what the trick is behind it. So you're going to have all the ammunition you want to succeed. Now, in saying that, the clock starts for a person when they start their first stunt. So even though they're there all day long or eating hamburgers and hot dogs, that's not going to count towards your time. The time starts, like, for example, I usually start out with something simple like the rat race. A rat race is this gigantic football field worth of a human rat race, where you're going to go in there and become a little rat, and you're going to have to find real rats. And so there's an actual section of that you're going to go into, and you're going to find where all these little nice mice and rats are at. You're going to slide down this plexiglass container. You're going to pull a key. Once you pull the key, then a teeter board is going to fall on top of you, and literally about 5,000 rodents will be completely covering you from head to toe. And that's when your time starts.
Hell no.
So you actually have to Oh, it's not too bad. They're just cuddly and fuzzy. And that's why you wear the proper equipment, too. You know, we keep you protected. That's why you wear a onesie. So that way the little critters aren't getting inside your outfit. You wear clothes underneath it. We give you concussion helmets. You're wearing vision protection, hearing protection. You don't want stuff crawling in your ears, you know. You want your skin covered up. But gloves, I mean, you know all this. I mean, you are well protected before you go in. But that's when your time would start, is when you grab that first key to mosey on to the rest of the, you know, rest of the maze. So that's a real simplified version. But people get so freaked out in just trying to get to that point that they just quit. They give up. And there is a safe phrase, you know, people, for a lot of years there wasn't, but for the last couple of years, I actually, you know, make you take a safe phrase whether you want it or not, because once you say it, it's game over. It's done. Show's over, stops, you know, we decompress you and make sure you're okay. And so that's why I say everybody will be okay. You know, you're not going to die. Well, we have had one serious injury here, but we don't like to talk about that, but things can happen. And that's why I'm so selective on who takes the tour. You know, we really, you just don't walk up to it. You've got to be physically screened. You got to get doctor's letters. You have to have a letter from a psychiatrist. You have to do background checks. You have to get a sports physical, proof of medical insurance. You got to do a drug screening. You got to go through two different interviews. You got to do a 50-page waiver. I mean, you really got to want to do this And people fly in from all around the world. I mean, you know, it's crazy. There's a huge amount of people trying to get in. So we can be very selective. We can't take hotheads. We have to take people that are educated, psychologically strong, because we don't want somebody getting hurt. And injuries can happen. And injuries happen when people are not smart enough to know when they've had enough. You know, you have to be able to promise me that when it's time, when the time is over, when you've had enough fun at McKinney Manor and it's just, you know, fun meters peg, you got to let me know, because I don't know what's going on inside your head. Only you know that. So I need people that are smart enough to say, yeah, I don't want to die here. I'm going to let you know when it's time to go home. And so it's a very selective process.
Yeah. Do you have any?
And yes,
I just said
we have had one death here, and we don't want that to happen ever again. That was horrible.
Wait, what?
Okay, wait. You can't just drop that.
Yeah, you said that so nonchalantly. What death? What death are we speaking of?
Right? Common, pretty common knowledge. You know, the activities that you're going to do are real. This is a real place. So this one lady that came here last year, she wasn't honest with her evaluation. She forged her medical letters. She did not tell us that she had heart issues, and when she was doing. She was doing the 200-yard underwater swim, the maze, with live caimans, because you will be swimming with alligators. One bit her. She panicked, and she got wrapped up, and she drowned. So people need to realize this is the kind of stuff you're doing. This is not some little joke. You know, you're going to be swimming with live alligators. You're going to be buried 12 feet underground. You're going to be hung upside down in a chamber with live moray. You're going to be inside a cremation device, an incinerator, and you're going to be lit on fire. You know, these are just some of the easier things. You're going to be doing. You know, you'll be doing a 2.5-mile zip line that you're going 55 miles an hour on that's electrified, and you're going to buzz off. You're going to fall off of it. Even though you can take the path you want to go, you're going to do a 250-foot bungee jump. You're going to be inside an escape room. That floor is going to fall out from underneath you, and you're going to go 250 feet. Free fall into the water, and you're going to need to do a task once you hit the water. But you got to understand, this is epic, big scale stuff. This is not like a little boo haunted house. This stuff takes acres and acres to produce. That's why this is like nothing else in the world, and that's why people have a hard time getting through it. This is not for the average run-of-the-mill Joe or Jane, that I can promise you.
I am, look, I knew it was extreme, okay? I didn't know it was like that. I feel like, are you being 100% serious when you say that the woman got, she died there?
Yeah, that's Absolutely. Now, that's why legally I have to tell you everything that's going to happen. So, like, you can't come back and say, Russ, you didn't tell me that you were going to pull my tooth out without Novocaine. Yeah, I did. Number 137 says that we're going to yank your tooth out without any kind of Novocaine. We're taking your nails out as well. You know that's going to happen. So you have to agree to that. You've got to sign up on that.
Okay.
And I'm just telling you the you understand. I'm telling you the light thing that people know about. So, yeah, it's not.
These are light things?
Yeah, these are light.
Oh, yeah.
I have nightmares about my fucking fingernails being just yanked out of my hands. That's not a light thing.
Man.
See, $500, G. Okay, Russ, though, let me ask you
this
question.
I don't care.
Seriously, though, let me ask you this question.
Don't care if I track you down. I know where you live.
I did give him your address, G. Sorry. You get pegged as a torture house all the time. Like, you have haters that say that about you. With what you just described, how are they not accurate?
Because it's an Indiana Jones movie. Come on, man. Zip lines, bungee jumping, dealing with fire and flame. And
I don't think you saw the same movie.
Spiders and snakes and scorpions. And
you're describing Saul, not Indiana Jones.
That's an adventure. Oh, nah, man. I tell you. So, you know, but people can think it's a torture house, I guess. But all is, you know, legitimately here, it is exactly what I told you. But you have to put on your logic cap. If it was really torture, would I be allowed for 19 years to be able to run this crazy place? Of course not. The police would have me in jail. There would be lawsuits against me. And we've never had one lawsuit. I've never had any trouble with the law. Now, they've tried to cause trouble, but I'm always able to get out of it because I know the reality of how things work. And I can show them the real footage to show that we're not torturing somebody. So I can tell you right now, it's not torture. And I also can tell you that, like the tooth pulling, I'll never do a thing to you. You're going to pull your own tooth out. You're going to do everything to yourself. I'm not going to do a thing to you. You're going to do it. And with the use of hypnosis, trust me, you will do it. So you can believe what you want. You can think it's not true. But I challenge you to come here and see me and then say it's not true. It's as simple as that. My track record speaks for itself. Just watch the movie on my YouTube channel called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And it's going to show you everybody who's ever taken the tour here from July of last year up until whenever I posted it a couple months ago. And you're going to hear the same thing. You're going to see all these tough, rough guys going through it. And you're going to hear the same thing out of each and every person. You're going to hear their safe phrase. They all quit. They're all boo-hooing. They're all crying. There's a reason for that, and you need to understand that.
I watched that. That is true.
Quick question from the chat.
Sure.
From Iron Charioteer. They asked, do you have waterboarding on the menu?
McKinney Manor is a water ride. Every stunt will involve water. Water is the great equalizer. And I use water I use water in fascinating ways. So I guess I'll leave that up to you whether you think I'm waterboarding, but that would be illegal. And I can tell you I don't do anything illegal. Now, with the use, now, if I add, see, here's the thing. If I add mind control, if I add medication, if I add my hypnosis, can I make you believe it's waterboarding? Here's the thing. I can sit you inside a kiddie pool, a little plastic kiddie pool with 3 inches of water, and I can tell you there's a great white shark in there, and you're going to think there's a great white shark in there, and you're going to flip out and lose your mind. That's why nobody can get past me. And so for those folks watching right now, they're going, that's BS. He can't do that. Well, I challenge you to come down and find out for yourself. It's just real simple. I'm not making money on this thing. I'm just telling you how it really is. And then it's up to you to make that correct decision.
The people in the chat, Russ, are saying that I think they sum up what this is just perfectly. Riley says this is both simultaneously amazing and terrifying. Yes, that is exactly the sentiment that I share. I'm not even going through it, and I'm over here hyperventilating. Like just hearing some of the because I'll tell you my biggest fear. And do you ask them like what their fears are? Because mine would be electrocution. Oh, yeah. Like I am deathly afraid of electrocution and claustrophobic. I am extremely claustrophobic. I cannot get like in those videos where you put people in a coffin or a cooler and you shut no. I'd be out right then. Be out.
Oh, you'll have
safe word.
You'll have fun safe here. Word. This is perfect for you. Yeah, no, we do a lot of, again, besides just not showing up, we find out from your parents, from your family and friends, from your coworkers. We investigate you. We find out what is really going on, what your real fears are. So we're going to know everything about you. We're going to know so much about you that you're just going to hate that fact. And that's why the show is so personalized and every show is different. There's no one, two shows that are the same. It's always different. I have hundreds and hundreds of activities that we can put you through. And it's always going to be based upon your fears and not just your fears, but being the nice guy that I am, I want you to have fun. And I'm going to say, what do you want to do? I mean, where do you want your tour to start? What kind of activities do you want to do? What would be exciting for you? And they'll say, man, I want to do the Alice in Wonderland 2 mile underground hike. Okay, we'll do that one. So I'm all about letting them do what they want to do as well. So I want them to have fun. But it's always different, always unique every time.
GE, what's your biggest fear? So let's go ahead and start tailoring your experience.
Oh, God, Kyle.
I know you hate me. And while you're thinking about that, GE, I want to put out there, Betty's in the live chat right now. I spoke with Betty earlier, and I talked to Russ before we actually went on the show. And we're going to bring Betty on towards the end, and Russ is going to see if she has what it takes to go through, because Betty has said that she would like to go through. So I see Betty in the live chat. We'll bring you in here in just a little bit, and Russ can kind of size you up and see if you've got what it takes to take on the manor. If you come in here after you've heard what he's said thus far, then you are absolutely crazy. But I hope you do because I want to see how he sizes you up. But GE, what's your biggest fears?
Okay. So biggest fears that I normally say fuck off to are heights, spiders, snakes, and sharks.
Please tell me you have a shark. Cool. Russ, do you have a shark?
I can hook you up with all of those items. Not a problem. Now, let me say this though, too. Being that I'm the nice guy that I am, is that I give every person, after they know what's going to happen, after they've read the contract and it's been explained, I give every person 2 off-limit items. So if you don't want to deal with heights, then you say, Russ, that's off the table. All right. If you don't want your tooth pulled, then that's off the table. So see, it's not so bad now. You get to choose the 2 items, but man, you better choose carefully because everything has consequences. I'll tell you what, for sure.
It's still bad. That's incorrect. It's still bad. So how do you like when let's talk about the contract, because that's in your videos, you spend a lot of time with with each person that goes through. I mean, you actually, there's several videos of you sitting there going through line by line, making sure they understand what they're signing up for. Does the waiver, is that something that you had to kind of, based on things that were happening to you as you went along through the years, you added things to a waiver, or was that like an umbrella that just covers everything? You haven't had any times where you've had to actually pull that waiver out and say, hey, look, they signed a waiver. Like, we can't be held responsible for whatever's going on.
Lost you for a second.
Oh, you're can you hear us now?
Right now.
What about now?
So the waiver is very important because for a couple of reasons. I mean, obviously, if any kind of official sees the waiver, they can see the kind of detail that goes into it to where there's no question that the person knows what they're getting into. It's not even an issue. It's so redundant. It's so many things are hit so many times on that waiver that you'd have to be a complete idiot to go, man, that person had no idea that that was going to happen. And this is not the case. You do know. And so it protects me, but it also, you know, I need people to know. I need them really to understand, because this way people will make an intelligent decision and they'll find out midway through whether this is something they should do. I mean, I'd say 30% of the time people quit at the contract because the realization just hit them like, there's no way I can do this. I didn't know I was going to, what? You know, and that's what I need. I need them to have that moment of like, no, man, I know me and I know I can't do that stuff. And that's good, because that's one less person that might get injured later on. And that's my biggest concern is injuries, mentally and physically. So the waiver is huge. And that's why I'm absolutely upfront. I'm not sketchy on it. I don't like dance around about what might happen. No, you do know, because that way you can make a smart decision whether you should be here or not. And that's the biggest thing for me, is it keeps you safe and it lets the right person in here. Not everybody should be doing this, you know, not even kind of.
Yeah.
I should.
I just put in the live chat, GE, if press one, if you should go through, and everybody's pressing one. So
I know. I know. A little bit different of a question. I'm kind of curious, like, how do you support this endeavor, or like who pays for like all of this to happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's lots of rumors about me. I hear I'm a millionaire and all that kind of fun stuff. I wish. I am just a retired Navy guy. I did 23 years in the Navy. I have a small fixed income of $800 a month. Can you believe that? That's it. But I've been able to save a little bit, you know, during my Navy years. And so I just pay for it myself. And I do ask the folks, just recently I started saying, hey, can you guys donate a little bit to your tour? Because whatever you donate goes right back into your tour, because this is expensive to run. I put in easily over $1 million throughout the years, easily, not even that, without question. So all of my life savings, everything has gone into McCamey Manor. And I'm not some, you know, rich guy. I live very, you know, if you saw my place, there's nothing in here except the table and the computer and dogs. I'm here about keeping them safe and running a good show. So I'm very minimalist kind of a guy. And it's just all about entertaining the folks. And I've had numerous people, as you can imagine, offer me TV shows, everybody from Universal Studios to NBC, you name it. And I've turned them all down, because they all wanted to give away the magic. They wanted to do the whole behind the scenes reality show thing. And that's not something I want to do. Even though I could be a millionaire by now, literally, I don't care about that. I just care about keeping the magic going, that urban legend. It's kind of cool knowing that when I'm dead and gone, people are still going to be wondering about that McCamey Manor. Was that true, man? Is that really real? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. It was real. That's worth it. That's worth more than all the money in the world to me. It's just being able to entertain you fine folks and keeping the world stressed out and keeping them all, you know, mad at me. You know, I'm like a little puppet master, and I know exactly what I'm doing. I know how to spin people up. I know how to throw those things out there and let people run with it and freak out about it. And that's just, I get a lot of pleasure out of seeing, you know, what people will run with and what they won't run with. And I'm just real good at what I do.
You're definitely made for the camera. I'll tell you that. Your personality is tailored perfectly to be on camera. But my question is that if you are in several of the videos that I watched, you made references to Vegas, like you know,
right.
Are you going to let Vegas down? What is that, and where can people go to watch these streams? Like, because I know that you air them live every, I think, Saturday, right?
Right. So Vegas was something we did in San Diego, and that was awesome. Okay. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen out here because, and also let me say that I never made money on Vegas. Now people mm-hmm. paid $500 a seat to basically watch and control what the shows were. So we would be live, and they would let us know. A guy called a controller would let us know what they wanted the audience to do. They had rules. They couldn't be anything stupid or nothing. So they all knew what kind of rules they were under and what they could ask us to have the contestants do, what areas. And
basically
they were betting on what was going on. Yeah, it was crazy. And now they did donate money to Operation Greyhound Rescue. So I was okay with it. But as far as myself making money, that would be totally illegal. And trust me, the IRS has looked into that because all the haters, you know, they call the IRS, hey, he's making money. You're gambling. So they looked into all that and they go, no, he's not making money. So we're okay. That's what that was all about. That was another way of just helping out the dogs, basically. And, but out here in Tennessee, we can't do it because the connection isn't the same. I'm not hardwired out here. I have satellite internet. And for you folks that have satellite internet, know that you can't have a big operation like that. It just does not work. So everybody can watch the live feeds for free if you just go to my Russ McKamey Facebook page, and you'll see a year and a half's worth or 2 years worth of all the live feeds. And every Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's showtime. And yeah, I don't charge anything. It's just come on board and watch and be professional. Don't be stupid or we'll cut you off and whatever, but otherwise have a good time. But I must say it's the silly stuff you're going to watch. You're going to watch the silly party carnival side of it. So you may go, that's not scary. Well, yeah, it's not meant to be scary. It's meant for me to evaluate what you can do and what you can't do. The scary stuff happens at night, and that I cannot live feed because that would get me kicked off of Facebook. That would get me in trouble with law enforcement. And you have to realize that everything I do, law enforcement watches me. Every live feed I make, they're watching. They have a huge case file on me. They've actually tried to indict me and take me to a grand jury based upon my old movies. Can you believe that? Based upon San Diego movies, they tried to indict me. I mean, that's insane to me. But that's how bad they want me. They really want me. And
that's a good, you know, that's a good point, though.
Even though it's crazy, even though I offer every week law enforcement come down, watch the show, hang out, come in unannounced, bring your film crew, I don't care because I don't have anything to hide. I mean, what I'm doing is totally safe and legal, but in their minds, they think it's something other than it really is. And that's the amazing part, is that people who are educated would, you know, not understand that this is a show. It's entertainment. And that blows me away. But yes, they're after me 24/7. And I'm aware of that and aware of what's being viewed and seen as well.
Well, why did you that brings up a point. You were based out for a long time in San Diego. Why the move from San Diego to the Bible Belt of the South?
All right. So this is a really complicated I'll make it short though. So in San Diego, this is very deep, and so you're going to get the deep side of Russ now. In San Diego, my electric bill without running AC was $900 a month, just straight running lights, because that's San Diego. My electric bill in Tennessee, running my AC and heater 24/7, round the clock, is $120. You're never getting rid of me. $120. I can live in a meat cooler how I like it. So you can shoot at me. You can threaten me. I'm staying here for $120 air conditioning a month. Yeah. So there's the deep method right there. That's what it's all about. It's purely cost effective out here.
Gotcha.
San Diego. I always said that if for some reason I wasn't able to, live in San Diego, if I lost my job or something and the job situation did change, I always said, I'm going to pack it up. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go buy something flat out, buy me some land and just do the hunt full time. And then I was, you know, asking all the fans, hey, where should I go to? Cause I didn't care where I went to. The location was irrelevant to me. And then someone said, hey, come out to Tennessee because I'll be a guaranteed actor for you. I was like, all right, cool. I need at least one actor to help me get started. So, all right, I'll go to Tennessee. So that's why I'm in Tennessee. The simplest.
G, did you have a question?
Did you say that you got shot at?
Oh, yeah. I've had numerous death threats, assassination threats, the whole Southern Justice, we're going to put a bullet in the back of your head, and all kinds of fun stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Well, I was just going to bring up a current event story that happened today is apparently a state trooper shot a attorney, like a Supreme Court justice maybe or something like that here in Alabama, shot him in the face in his car. So that stuff's real.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, I'll tell you what, my second show, the police got called out here because our neighbor, who is a police officer, they made this big report, like you can hear in that newscast, about police were called out and men were grabbing and took this woman into the house. None of that happened. It was all totally fabricated on their end. But they came in here, and I was told by the DA that if it wasn't for me coming out and changing my battery, my camera, he says, we would have had our heads blown off. And we would have been blown away. And he told me on camera, he said, and we would have had every right to do so. And so right there, that tells you the temperament and makes you think, all right, well, at least I know where you stand. And I understand that I really have to be really careful. I understand that you're not happy with me being out here. And they've tried every way they can to get us run out of town and, you know, everything from bake sales to church donations to, you know, cease and desist letters. I mean, they've tried everything they can. But the funny part is that they've never talked to me. They've never come out to actually see what I'm all about or watch the shows or, you know, and I offer every single show. I say, come on out, man. You guys are always welcome. Be here. So it's not so much the local folks that don't get it. They get it. And the boots on ground kind of guys, the local law enforcement, they get it. They understand it's a show. They understand Russ is a good guy. But some of the upper echelon people who you think would know better, county commissioners, et cetera, they're digging their heels in because they made themselves look bad by coming after me the way they did. And now they're going to make it their life's goal to see me behind bars. So finally, we got him now, by golly. You know, they were going to be the Lone Ranger coming in here and getting me out of town and, you know, just fixing the situation. But there's nothing to fix. I'm a good guy. And like I always tell everybody, I would put up my resume, what I've done in my life, against almost anybody's. You know, I'm like the most super conservative guy you can think of. You know, besides serving the military for 23 years, after that I worked as a veterans advocate working for disabled veterans. I'm a wedding singer. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never smoked a cigarette, never had a cup of coffee. I don't cuss. I've never clearly never taken a drug before. I mean, I'm like the most straight-laced kind of guy you can think of, but they paint me as this insane psychopath, which is crazy to me, but they've dug themselves in a hole. When you attack somebody the way they've attacked me, and then they couldn't back it up, and they've tried, and you know, it's embarrassing. So I get that, but that's why I have to be really careful, because all they're waiting for is one little mistake to happen, someone to get hurt again, or someone to complain saying that we're torturing them and wouldn't stop. That's what they're waiting for. But I don't do that, and I've never done that. But my movies look scary. But who's the guy making them? I'm making them. I'm the filmmaker. I know how to make a movie. My job is to spin people up, and people believe
it. And you do that.
You know, so I guess it's, and I do. So I guess I'm flattered that my movies are effective. But look, people, again, real life, if things were really like you thought they were, I would be in jail, and I'm not.
But you've also, in addition to being shot at, I just want to add, he's also had a Molotov cocktail thrown at him. I just think that's – I don't know. You're the only person that I know that's had a Molotov cocktail thrown at him. So,
well, it might have been an accident. Maybe it was an accident. It could have been an accident.
Oh yeah. It was an accident that somebody mixed together a Molotov cocktail and threw it in your direction. He's just like, oops, it slipped.
It might be time to reevaluate.
You know. I'm not accusing anybody, and maybe the gunshot was a real fast moving bee. I don't know. So I'm not accusing anybody. Maybe it was just Kool-Aid, and maybe I was having hallucinations and thought it was something else. But I've got some crazy threats. I get them every day. The threats are like, I mean, I will tell you this. There is a reason why I have to carry a concealed license now, which I never thought I would have to do. I do now because of all the crazy, I have to be careful, and it is dangerous. I mean, if I believed all the threats, if you just have to go on YouTube and look at all the threats, I mean, I try to delete most of them, but people say some crazy stuff about coming out here and killing me and shooting me.
I've seen videos, but
it all started with that community alert. I mean, who does that? Who sends out a community alert when you first get here? That's something you do for murderers or something, not for a haunted house guy. And what makes me really, in all seriousness, so mad is that they spend all these resources on me when there's real problems going out here. It's, you know, sexual predators out here, child abuse going on, animals aren't treated properly out here, the meth problem. I mean, if you want to spend money on real problems, not a haunted house. Are you kidding me? And that's what makes me mad is that they could be doing those resources on real things, not Russ McKinney. Give me a break. So that's the thing that really irritates me.
Go ahead, G.
Yeah, like Arab Alabama is like Breaking Bad in real life. I'm just gonna say that. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, either. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's out here too. So you know, put the resources to that. Now, let me say, I love law enforcement. I'm a huge supporter. They've been really nice to me, the boots on the ground, you know, everybody who's ever come out to help me out, like when I do get some crazy threat, like ones that are like viable, they come out and help me. Now that they get it now. They get that I'm not some wacko guy, but I guess when I first got here, they were believing the hype and spin too. They understand this is showbiz. This is entertainment. This is not reality. It's a showbiz. So I really respect all of the boots on the ground guys out there. And I respect everybody in law enforcement. I mean, and everybody out there should as well. But there are real problems. And I wish the real problems would be, you know, looked at maybe more than they are at times. So, you know, that's my take on it. Yeah. I'm a huge law enforcement supporter.
Go ahead, GE.
Well, I was just going to ask, like, with all the pushback that you get from different groups of people, like, what really motivates you to, like, keep this going? Like, I get the love of the hobby and doing what you do, but I guess I'm just wondering, like, is there any other reason? Like, do you just laugh at their attempts, or is it, I guess, maybe something deeper?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. And my lawyer asked the same, you know, I have to keep a lawyer on staff all the time, which is,
I bet you do.
And he's like, why are you doing this? Yeah. He's like, yeah, exactly. He's like, why are you doing this? This is stupid. He says, it makes no sense. You're not making money. He says, just quit doing it. You know, they're after you. Just quit. Eventually they're going to get you. Just quit. And I said, but it's my passion. It's my hobby. It's like, it's no different if you would like flying remote control airplanes. And I told you to stop doing that. It's what makes you happy. And for me, entertaining folks and putting on these massive, big smoke and mirror shows, and it's not really smoke and mirrors, but, you know, but putting on these big shows and seeing people smile and laugh and get scared and cry and loving it and hating it, whatever. It's just, it's my passion. So it is unfortunate that there is a target on my back, and probably something's going to happen one day. So I'm probably not very smart, and I should actually stop doing it, but I'm just kind of hard-headed. And I know in my heart I'm not hurting anybody. I know that people are loving it and having a great time. And if you were only here watching it, you'd see that as well. But it's the LIC crowd, and LIC stands for the low information crowd. You see me write about LICs all the time. They're the ones that, you know, like the county commissioner calling this place a fetish and a torture house. That's why I always use his little segment in my movies, because it's absurd. you know, what's in their brain, right? What are they thinking about mm-hmm. where they call this a fetish or torture? What's going on in their mind? That's not what's going on in my mind. So that always amuses me. But yeah, it's purely because it's just a lot of fun to hang out with folks, to entertain them, and it's just a fun day. I know it sounds crazy, but it's fun for everybody.
Right. How many people are on the waiting list to get into, like how many like attempts to come in or reservations or applications do you get a day to come into the
manor? I get roughly between, yeah, it's crazy. I can't control it all because I'm a one-man operation. So I get between 300 to 500 requests on my Facebook page a day. And then I have to do a cut and paste email to every single one of them explaining what the rules are, what to do, how to do, you know. So that takes me all day just to do that. And so it's insane. But I do all that because I need people who are serious. And when I send them out the requirements and what I need them to do, like watch these 7 movies and understand what it's all about, and then call me, and then we'll have an interview, and then we'll do another interview. That way I know they're serious, that they're willing to put the time and energy into this thing as well. But yeah, I can't keep track of it. And so then it's just first come, first serve on who gets their medical letters and gets all the things I need. I mean, you know, we're booked well into 2019 solid wise. And it's just hard to even keep track of that. You know, I need help. I'm just one guy trying to put the show on, restage the show, do all the correspondence. I mean, it's just, it's stupid, ridiculous.
You need a secretary.
That I do all this. I need a lot more than that. I need a crew. Yeah, I need a crew to help me out. But yeah, it's nutty. So that's kind of how it works.
GE, do you have another question that you want to ask? What I'm going to do now is, Betty, I'm going to send you the link to join the call, and we're going to see if you have what it takes to make it through the manor. And while I get that set up for you, Gee, if you've got anything else that you want to ask, go ahead and do that, and I'll bring her in.
Oh, yeah, I've been copying and pasting questions from the live chat. Sorry, I didn't mm-hmm. copy the names of people that asked it, so sorry about that. But so we have somebody asking, has anyone ever tried to kidnap you, Russ?
no, not yet, but that'd be entertaining. I've had that threat. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't do my own hunt now. Right on. As of yet, no one in reality has. But again, I get some crazy, correspondence saying they're going to do all kinds of wild stuff. And yeah, but no, sorry. No one's kidnapped me yet.
Okay. Now, as far as these health qualifications, I guess, like, is there like a height requirement for the tour in general?
No. The first thing I ask everybody is what's your height, weight, and age? Because there's not really a requirement, but I do need to know if you can fit inside the contraptions and that type of thing. And that would like tell me what I can and can't do. And I need people who are pretty physically fit. You know, again, it's not near as physical as it used to be. That's why I've lowered the age requirements to 18 instead of 21. It's mainly a mental thing. I can tell you and your listeners right now that no one's going to lay a hand on you. No one's going to smack you around. No one's going to do anything. It's not that kind of a show. It's a mental show. So physically, it's quite easy. But psychologically, it's extremely challenging. And that's why I have to really, you know, pay attention to that and choose the right kind of folks. But I mean, we could take people and we could take amputees. It doesn't matter because I can build a show around to anybody. And I get that question all the time. Hey, I'm in a wheelchair. Can I do it? Yeah, you could do it. You know, hey, an arm or a leg. Sure. I've got this disease. Can I do it? Yeah. Because as long as I know what you've got going on, I can build around your particular situation to keep you safe. So it's kind of open for everybody.
What would exclude someone from coming in?
Blood diseases like, you know, HIV, AIDS, that type of mm-hmm. thing, because we don't want anybody, clearly, you know, blood is blood and you have to be very careful with that. And you can mm-hmm. get cuts and bruises here. So, that type of thing. You know, even we, we met a gal with multiple sclerosis that that we cleared her for, because, you know, we could figure out a way to give her a really fun, entertaining show without putting her through something that would put her in any kind of danger with her multiple sclerosis. So it's just a lot of common sense. As long as I know what I'm working with, and that's why it's so important to be honest with me about your health conditions, because I'll try to work with you. And, you know, and then on the psychological level, I want to make sure that we're not going to trigger anything. We don't want to, I mean, everybody's goofed up mentally. We are all goofed up, but I want to make sure that I don't trigger any kind of PTSD, or any other, you know, traumatic events. And again, as long as I have the information, I can guide your tour around what you've got going on. So, you know, I can let a lot of people in that maybe you think couldn't go in, just because I can work around their situation. Oh, I know someone that couldn't go in. We had a person with a hearing issue. Not that they were deaf, but they had, I can't think of the name of it, but they had this huge, they have this item that's actually implanted into their skull. And that they couldn't go in, because if something hit that and broke that off, well, then obviously that would be a really serious issue. So, and like me, for example, I couldn't go because I've got plates in my head. I had brain surgery twice 6 years ago. I had brain bleeds and I almost died, and I actually shouldn't be here. I should be like under the ground, but I'm here. So twice I've had brain surgery and I look like a baseball. I got plates in my head. I've had a stroke and seizures from that stuff. Well, that would eliminate somebody from going through, because I can't let my head get rattled around anymore. I got to be really careful with my noggin. So something like that would keep somebody out as well.
Let me ask real quick. Betty, can you hear us?
She's not here, Kyle. I think she's having the same problem Russ had earlier, where she needs to put the link into her web browser on her phone.
Well,
as opposed
yeah,
to...
I told her that. It just said that she logged in right now as you were talking.
It's been saying that the whole time. Like, she's done... there's a couple times she's been logged in, but it's okay. Not communicating with the software on the other end, so it can't get...
Got it. Okay. GE, go ahead with your... the other questions that you've got copied and pasted, and I'll see if I can't figure out what's going on here.
Well, this comes actually from KC. Have you been evaluated for any kind of mental disorders?
That's a good one. I like that. Dude, there's an LIC right there. Have I been evaluated? Well, let's see. Again, I held down 23 years in the military. I worked as a veteran service officer for the Veterans of Foreign Wars for 13 years. Never had any trouble in law enforcement, you know, within the law. So I think I'm a pretty upstanding young man, actually. And so I guess there hasn't been a reason to evaluate me. So,
well, no.
The answer would be no.
I think she was being more hyperbolic than anything.
I like that. But that's a good question. I've never been asked that before, so that's good.
Well, but I am actually kind of curious as to what the psychological toll is on you, like, going through this.
It's just entertainment. It's okay. People go through this. I look at them as my actors. I'm a filmmaker. So when someone goes through, I look at the folks going through as the star of my movie. So when they're taking the tour, I look at edits in my mind. I look at camera angles. I look, because everything is filmed, of course, right? So I look at them as we're making a movie. And I tell them the same thing. We're making a movie. And so I'm trying to present it in a very cinematic fashion. So when you go through it, you do feel like you're living your own horror movie, but in a very safe way. And so I look at you like for lighting. I'm trying to get the magic Kodak moments that I'm looking at and looking for, at the same time keeping you safe and sound, of course, and giving you a really exciting adventure. But I look at that each contestant in a very different fashion. I'm not trying to, you know, traumatize them or anything else. I'm just trying to make a good, entertaining movie. I'm trying to give them a good show. I'm trying to make it exciting for them and for the audience who's going to eventually be watching their movie. So my mindset is totally different. I'm not like, oh yeah. No, I'm just trying to get these magic moments that I've designed in my head that I'm trying to present on film. And so that's kind of how I look at it. I'm a director.
Okay. I have an idea about how we're going to gonna have to do this a really strange way, but hopefully it'll work. Because for some reason, it's not allowing her to connect through that channel. So what I'm going to do, Betty, I'm going to actually call you on Discord and put you on speaker. And that way you can answer the questions that way and see if you have what it takes to come or go through the manor. So I'm going to send that message to you right now. Okay. See if we can't get Betty now. Nope, allow. Can you hear me? Betty? Betty? That's not working either now. I swear, this is... it's not meant to be, Betty, I don't think. Can you hear me? I'm not getting anything from Betty. It's strange.
Okay. I do have a couple more questions.
Oh.
Thank goodness.
There we go. Okay. Hey, Betty.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, Betty. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Hello.
Can we hear you,
Betty?
Can you hear Russ?
Old bad Betty, can you hear me?
Betty, can you hear me? I don't understand what's happening here. Betty.
How about now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Can you hear us?
Perfect. Yes.
Can you hear me,
okay,
Betty?
Perfect. Can you hear us?
Betty, can you hear me though?
Sir, are you there?
Yeah.
I've done my research. I'm sorry.
I tell you what, give me 2 seconds. I know what's going on. She can't hear Russ because it's going through the headphones. So let me reroute my.
Thank you guys so much.
Now say something, Russ. Let me see if I can hear you through my main speakers.
Can you hear me?
There we go. All right. You should be able to hear Russ now.
Sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Hello.
Okay. You should be able to hear each other now. Russ?
I hear Russ.
Okay, perfect. Now, why do you want to go through McCamey Manor?
Wow, I'm not some, you know, I'm gonna do this Rambo style. I just feel everybody says I think I'm gonna go all the way or at least 3 hours or at least this, and they last like 2 minutes. I know the longest was 6 hours.
Yeah, the new record is 0 seconds, Betty.
Wow. So
Betty is one of those ones who, again, who haven't watched anything new, and they're on these hack channels, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but Russ, what would be something that you would ask Betty if you were like you do in your interviews? Right, what do you look for?
So, in a nutshell, here's what I ask. First, I ask what your height, your weight, and your age. I need to make sure that it's appropriate for what we're looking at. I ask if there's any kind of medical limitations, broken bones, pins, rods, plates, whatever. Again, like I talked about, I can work around stuff, but I need to know what they are. So I need to know about that. I ask if there's any psychological issues, any kind of trauma issues. And we go into great detail about that because that's really important for me not to traumatize somebody. So we have that conversation. I ask what kind of movies you like. And why do I ask that? Because I'm looking for high quality individuals. I don't want folks are folks that I need folks that like know what this is. If you're thinking this is some BDSM thing or something sexual, or you're going to get roughed up and everybody's going to be pounding on. No, if that's what you're thinking is going to happen, I have to talk you out of that. If you like certain movies that are, you know, there are certain movies out there that are really inappropriate, in my opinion, ones that allude to hurting children and that kind of stuff. And if you're a fan of those kind of movies, you'll never, ever get here. Protecting kids is the most important thing in my world, keeping kids safe, all kids. And if somebody is into torture kind of movies that hint at that kind of thing, and there's a lot of them out there that do hint about that, you'll never get in here. You know, so those kind of things that are important to me. And the two big things that I ask people is, if you're doing this for the money, if you're doing this because you think you're going to really win $20,000, turn away right now, because you're not going to win a dime. You're not. I mean, is it true? Can you win? Absolutely. Do I give you 20 grand to start? Absolutely. But if you really think that you're going to beat the Manor, you're kidding yourself, because you're not going to beat the Manor. And so people need to really know that. And then the most important thing is that I need people that understand their limitations. I don't want someone who's like, I'll never quit, I'll die before I ever quit. Well, then you'll never be invited here. I don't want someone getting hurt here. This is entertainment. This is fun. It's not to get injured. So if you're at that mindset, that crazy, and we know those people, then there's no way I'll ever pick you. That's why we go over several screenings, several interviews, because I need smart people. People understand this is a game and it's not worth dying over. But you would be surprised how many people don't have that attitude, and clearly they don't belong here. So that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. And then you'll talk to another interview person who will go into great detail about your past history and your life, and it'll be some very personal questions. And then that's what we go with the second volume of questions.
Do you have any questions, Betty?
First, I want to say it's funny how they're, you know, I know Russ calls them the haters, which is what they are. It seems you go through this extensive, you know, you have to go through a lot to even get in there. I mean, the FBI would have been on him like white on rice by now, which is, you know, so that needs to stop. You know what I mean? I can see he has respect. You know, he's intelligent. Of course, anybody that would even mention a child, no way. I think that's disgusting. You know, I'm 5'3". Let me answer a couple questions. I'm 5'3", about 120. I have no medical issues whatsoever. No, you know, mental health issues whatsoever. I don't think I'm this big, you know, or yeah, Rambo type that's going to just run through. I probably most likely will not beat it. You know, it's just, and it's not about the money. You know, it's funny. I said I would donate it if I want it. But, I mean, I highly doubt. There's probably not a chance in hell that I would. But it's just to push myself to see how far I can go. I do know my limitations, you know. So just trying to go through it and see how far I can get.
Yep. Betty, you know, I tell you what, Betty, what are your biggest fears? Give me three of your top fears that you have.
It's weird because I wasn't sure if I was actually going to be able to speak on here, so thankfully I am. It's funny, I was like, what are my fears? I'm not claustrophobic. I actually have two pet rats.
Uh-oh. This might be meant to be, Russ.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. He's very intelligent. You know, he's not stupid, to say the least. And I have massive respect for him and what he does. Well, death is one, because that's it. Life is over. I don't want to die, but that's not, you know.
Yeah.
Except what happened to, which was horrible. I don't think I'm going to die. You know what I mean? Come on.
Right.
Heights. I'm really afraid of heights, and I need to get over that because I want to travel the world. So,
so heights and death.
Heights, death.
You have a lot to work with there, Russ.
I know.
I'm trying. hey, look. Name something,
hey,
so I'll yes or no. I mean,
here, Russ wants to say something real quick, Betty.
Sure, sure.
I think this might be interesting. Here's what I want to do, kind of as a psychological experiment here, and I'm all about that. And being that we're doing this little, you know, YouTube thing right now, let's do this. Let's try to bring you into a show, even though I'm booked up. Let's try to bring you into a show, and that way you could come back on and talk about your experience. Now, if you're really truly game, if you're really a serious contender, then I want you to send me an instant message on Facebook after we're done here. I'll then put you in contact with the next guy that's going to do an interview, and we'll make this happen for you relatively, really soon. In fact, I'll do a back-to-back show, which I normally don't do back-to-backs. I do one show per week because it's just too much. But I'll do a back-to-back, and we'll actually get you in for a show, and that way you can come back on and talk about how it was, and it might be kind of entertaining for the folks listening.
Holy shit. Betty, are you sure? You really don't want to do this. You really don't want to do this.
No, but I will be told that. And I know when I do get out of there, when Russ decides, sir, when sir decides, I've done my research. I don't know if there's a new rule, if there's a change, because it has changed a bit. But I know the after interview post, you know, I'm not going to be a happy camper, meaning, you know, I'm going to be going through things in my mind and physically.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure once that all calms down, I mean, I would love to. I would really love to.
Okay.
Take everybody up on the offer. It would be wonderful. And I will bring way more than one can of dog food because it's for a really good cause.
One can of dog food. So you're basing everything off of old information. So that's why I need to get you up to speed with what's really going on. You're not even on the right page anymore about what we are, what we're doing, our requirements, our donations.
Yeah, I'll send you
so you're looking at old
the
stuff.
Links to the new stuff.
Yeah,
send me the links. But Betty,
of course, listening. So there's a lot of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just again, Betty, when I'm done here, send me an instant message on my Russ McCamey Facebook page, and then we're going to make this happen like with the next couple of weeks. So we're going to do this. We're going to do a double header for McCamey Manor. But there's things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to. You're going to have to really take this serious.
Yeah.
Why? No. Why?
I'm just saying you really don't want to do this. Russ is going to tell you the same thing. You really don't want to do this.
I know. I don't know because it's very new, so I don't know if he's going to keep staying. You know, if I'm going to be told that.
Well, I tell you what, because we're going to have to start. We're almost to the hour and a half mark, so
yeah,
we're going to start.
No, I understand. But Betty, I really appreciate this.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll give you Russ's information and the links to the new videos that that he has up, and then you can do what he says about getting in contact with him after the show.
You need to contact
Betty.
Contact me. You need to contact me because I have to send you certain things, okay? And if you don't contact me on instant message, go to, as all your fans, this is good for everybody. Anybody watching and wants to take the tour, go to McCameyManor.com and fill out the contact form and send that to me, and then I'll send you back everything you need to get started.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right, Betty.
Definitely.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, really. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Betty. I'm sorry. I feel like I need to apologize to her. But that's cool, though. Yeah, I think she sounds like she might be – what do you think, G? Sounds like she might be pretty tough. You're muted.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know if she really knows everything that she's getting into with this, because yeah, I mean, we didn't get a chance to really go over the contract
waiver.
We didn't really get to go through all of that tonight, but I mean, it's obviously all laid out right there in the contract. So, I mean, I don't know. I would advise against doing it, but then again, I still have balls to grow. Apparently.
Apparently.
All right. Well, we're getting up to the end of the hour and a half. Thank you, Russ, for coming on. I'm gonna let you have these last couple minutes to say any last words. What the future for the McCamey Manor is? Anything like that you want to put out there? And then
sure.
We'll go to GE. And
sure.
That'll be it.
All right. Just real quick, everybody. Again, if you're interested in taking a tour, just go to McCameyManor.com and fill out that contact page. Realize that the YouTube channels that you go to, they're not the right ones because they're hacked. They've been hacked. And if anybody out there has any way of getting a hacked channel back, knows somebody within YouTube and Google, contact me because I lose money every day. People are stealing my videos every day. And so the right proper YouTube channel is called McCamey Manor Presents. But the one with literally 90 million views, that's a hack channel, and people are making money on old Russ and stealing my content. So if someone has that information, let me know. But otherwise, have fun. Everybody relax. Understand it's not torture. I'm not some psychopath. This is entertainment. It's fun. It's not what most of you think, but it's very challenging. And if anybody ever has wanted to live their own horror movie or be part of something that's bigger than them, this is it. This is truly a very unique survival horror experience that you can't find anyplace else, but you better be dead dog serious about it and be legit. Don't waste my time. I need serious contenders. So there, boo.
Awesome. And before I get to the Super Chats, G, do you have anything you've got coming up for the week? Like your stream on Friday, what's the subject? That sort of thing?
Okay, yeah. So Friday night I'm streaming about ODDTV. We're looking at his anti-Semitism as well as thinking that the Jews in Hollywood control whether or not we think the Earth is flat or a globe. And other than that, I'll be gaming this weekend on my gaming channel, and I guess we got a debate on Saturday night.
We do. And Dave, actually, thank you for reminding me. Will you put that image up, Dave, of Saturday night? So, we're turning Saturday night into Flatterday night. This Flatterday night fight between Flat Earth Fighter and the Mind of God. They're going to be having a debate, sort of like last week where we had the guys come on and do the Flat Earth thing, and GE will be moderating that. We'll be hosting it, and you'll get to meet the Flat Earth Fight for the first time. Seems like a really fantastic guy. I mean, got a lot of energy and passionate about this, so I'm excited to see what happens there. But join us at 9 p.m. on Saturday for that. Anything else, G, that you've got coming up?
No. I mean, next week's going to be a pretty lax week because it's both my birthday and my and Thanksgiving, so there's that.
Well, happy early birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Zach said,
I've got one more thing if I could.
Sure.
But yeah, after please. You're done there.
Please.
Oh, me? Okay, real quick, I'm sorry, and happy birthday, my man. I think for a birthday present, you need to come down here to the manor, and we'll give you the baby tour. Okay, so that's the case there. But
yes,
I just want to also invite people, again, you can live feed the shows at my Russ McCamey Facebook page. And also, if you're looking, just follow me. If you're looking to watch Netflix, there's two really good Netflix films about the manor. One's called Haunters, The Ark of the Scare, and then there's a brand new one called Dark Tourist, and we're in the last chapter of that little TV series. So if you want to see it on a more of a professional level, we're on Netflix as well.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. And guys, I'll put all the links to that stuff in the description as well, so you can just, if you're watching this later on and didn't catch the live feed, you can go and just click the links down below. Three quick super chats real quick. Zach Wilkerson says, hey, Betty, no socks. So I think that's a Team Betty. We need to get Team Betty shirts now. Nicholas Brand asks, what's the scariest thing someone has had to experience, Russ?
Oh, there's just so many. It depends on what's scary to them. I guess, you know, being buried underground is 12 feet underground and having everything collapse on you and you're actually, you know, thousands of pounds of dirt surrounding you and you have to get out of that. That's pretty frightening. with one gulp of air. Yeah, not easy to do. So
That just gave me chills right there. I can't stand claustrophobic. Like, that's the worst way to go, I think. And the final thing is from Ken Hovind's CPA. He says, "I found out some if you like me, thanks." Well, we do like you, Ken Hovind CPA. Thank you for the comment. And that's it. I want to thank Russ McCamey for coming on. That was just as interesting, terrifying, and fascinating as I thought it would be. And GE, as always, pleasure to see you, and thank you for coming on to co-host with me.
No, yeah, thank you for having me on. This was an awesome time.
Absolutely. And until next time, Russ, don't kill anybody.
I'm trying not to. All right.
Cool.
We'll see you with Betty. With Big Bad All right, Betty. Awesome.
Yeah. Good night, guys. Right. We'll see you tomorrow at 8.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.